Oh, what a wonderful crowd. You know, it's the beginning of the year. It's like at the gym. Everybody's ready. So we'll see what happens in March. I hope you'll all still be here. This is the beginning of our Ango, our 90-day training period. And so if you just came because of the time of year, I encourage you to take part in our 90-day training period. We'll have more talks, longer sits, and lots of opportunities for study. So I encourage you to join us for that. Ango really means peaceful dwelling. So it refers all the way back to the original times during the rainy period when all the people who studied with the Buddha would gather together in one place and intensively study together and practice meditation. And that tradition passed to all the countries that practice Buddhism, and we continue it today in our way here in Manhattan, practicing our Ango by studying more, meditating more, communicating more, expressing ourselves more, having more action in the world, and more sense of care of others and of self. So we take the five expressions of Zen and we intensify them during this 90-day period. One thing that is very important to me is the study that we do during this period, because it can kind of provide a thematic ground for us. And this year our study text is by Dogen, and it's the Genjo Koan. So there'll be a whole series of talks that we'll be giving on the Genjo Koan over the next 90 days. It was written about 800 years ago, almost 800 years ago, by a kind of wild, brilliant philosopher, poet, monk in Japan. And this essay, this Genjo Koan, was one of the very first he wrote. And he wrote it for someone who studied with him, who was a layperson. So to really realize that this piece that we're going to be studying is something that was not addressed to some recluse that lived on a mountaintop, but was addressed to someone who lived in Kyoto, the center of Japan at the time, much as we live in Manhattan, who had much responsibility, who had a large family and lots of political and social responsibilities. And so this piece is written to how can a person so involved in the world really practice the Dharma, really become the Dharma, so that in every activity that that person engages in, there is a manifestation of awakened nature. There's a manifestation of compassion. So that is the question that Dogen takes up in the Genjo Koan. A lot of translations of the title, but typically the one that we're using is Actualizing the Fundamental Poet. And try to think about what does that mean? And excuse me, I have a cough drop that is slowly dissolving in my mouth, and if you hear that clicking, that's what that is. It'll go away in a minute. What is it to actualize the fundamental point? To actualize something is to make it real. So how many of us have, you know, some kind of an idea of a spiritual practice, but it's not made real? By made real, by made actual in our lives, day-to-day lives, in our traffic, you know, walking down the street, and all of our interactions with others. to make it really real. And then to make, what is it that we're making real? The fundamental point, the core of the matter, the point of our life, the most essential part of our life, to really make that real and to not live in some kind of fantasy of our life. And that's what this essay is about. So that's how we translate it in English, but the Japanese has got some very nice hidden qualities. I just want to mention a couple. So we call it the Genjo Koan. That is the name of the essay. And Gen means that which has been hidden and which is now appearing. That which has been hidden and is now appearing. What is it that is hidden and now appears? What is it that so often we ignore that is constantly showing up, but we may not notice it? Isn't it the consciousness and awareness of this moment and what we are feeling in this moment and what we are aware of in this moment of the situation that is around us? Isn't it a complete awareness of the present moment? That is what is hidden from us most of the time. Most of the time we're thinking about the next moment or the last moment, but missing this one. Our minds become so habitual in their expectation. We think we know what's going to happen. We think we know what's happening. And that gets so much in the way of our actually experiencing what is happening. And this is an age-old Buddhist truth. It's about our samskaras, it's our kind of pathways in our mind, the walls in our mind that prevent us from really experiencing what is happening for our good and for that of others. And this Gen, it really arises out of the absolute. It arises out of everything. Gen, that which was hidden and now appears, and Jo, which means completion, becoming. So that which is appearing is complete, Genjo. That's what that means. That which is appearing is complete. And think how often we are dissatisfied with what is appearing, and we'll say, no, this is not complete. That's not real. That's not perfect. I reject this. I reject the present moment. Unconsciously, I think we do this all the time. And in doing that, we become very unskillful, unable to react appropriately to the needs of others or our own needs. So this Jo is when we say everything is perfect and complete just as it is, that comes from that Jo. It is perfect in that it is complete. It is just as it is. There is no other way. Any other way is an idea. So Genjo points to the wonder of our life. There's no denying in Genjo. We miss so much of our lives by pulling away from Genjo, that which is arising. Even when that which is arising is unpleasant or painful, to meet it presents all the possibilities of moving in another direction. To not meet it creates a proliferation of more pain and suffering. So Genjo is completely teaching us just by that phrase, the completeness of everything that is arising in this moment. And then the end of this Genjo koan, the koan is originally meant to like a the law, a public law or case that has been a truth. And its component characters have this sense of sameness, of equality. Like we think of as law as something that is in regard to everyone. So this the characters have this quality of levelness and sameness and equality. We could extend that to the sense of non-duality, the absolute, the absolute interconnectedness of all things, a kind of shift of perspective. The first is showing the precise uniqueness of this very moment, which is unlike any other moment and yet is perfect and complete. That's Genjo. And then koan is, yes, but everything is ultimately the truth, the absolute. Everything is absolute part of the whole. So it's a highly balanced way to enter this. Genjo koan. To show up the ultimate non-duality of our life is what Genjo koan means. And that showing up is to show up for ourselves. And in showing up for ourselves, we finally show up for everyone else. We truly cannot serve others if we are not aware of what is arising in the moment in ourselves and in the world. And that's what it is to live a life of awareness and realization. So ultimately, we could just stay the entire 90 days on the title, Genjo Koan. But there's more. Actualizing our daily life as it is. Dogen begins this section, a tip about Dogen in general is that on just about every chapter of his 75 and 95 chapter life's work, the first two or three lines enunciate what he's going to say, and then he plays with that for a few more chapters, a few more pages. But he says what he has to say at the beginning, generally. And one could hardly think that it is any more true of this. This is marvelous, the way he begins this Genjo Koan. He says, as all things are Buddha Dharma, there are delusion, realization, practice, birth and death, Buddhas and sentient beings. As myriad things are without an abiding self, there is no delusion, no realization, no Buddha, no sentient being, no birth, no death. The Buddha way, in essence, is leaping clear of abundance and lack. Thus, there are birth and death, delusion and realization, sentient beings and Buddhas. Yet, in attachment blossoms fall, and in aversion, weeds spread. So, of course, it's so much easier when I'm reading it than it is for you when you're hearing it. So I'm going to be a little bit repeat myself a few times so that you can get what he's doing. The first line, as all things are Buddha Dharma, there are delusion, realization, practice, birth and death, Buddhas and sentient beings. So he's saying this is life as it is, seen from the perspective of the Buddha Dharma. So remember, we say Buddha Dharma, everybody thinks we know what we mean by that, but it's really the awakened truth. Is Buddha means the one who wakes up. Dharma essentially means truth or law, the way things are. So the Buddha Dharma is, from the perspective of the Buddha Dharma, there's delusion and realization. We know that from our lives. Practice. Birth and death. Buddhas and sentient beings. And the division between Buddhas and sentient beings are, when we're awake, we're a Buddha. When we're not awake, we're a sentient being. So that is life just as it is. We practice in order to realize from this perspective. We know we have to come and do our meditation and our study and our communication, our expression. We have to act and care in order to realize. We are like, in Vasubandhu's phrase, waves in the ocean. We are the very unique waves. No wave is the same in the ocean. We are the form in the Heart Sutras. Form is emptiness, emptiness form. This is just our ordinary life. If you recall that great koan of when Joshu asked his teacher, Nanchuan, what is the way? And Nanchuan said, ordinary mind is the way. And Joshu said, well, shall I direct myself toward it? And Nanchuan said, if you direct yourself toward it, you move away from it. But if I don't direct myself toward it, how will I know it's the way? And Nanchuan says, the way isn't about knowing or not knowing. Knowing is delusion. Not knowing is blankness. If you truly attain to the way, it is as vast and boundless as the sky. So this first level that Dogen addresses here is this level of ordinary mind. Don't direct yourself toward it. You are it. How can you direct yourself toward it? As all things are Buddha Dharma, there's delusion, realization, practice, birth and death, Buddhas and sentient beings. Ordinary. Ordinary, and yet from the perspective of the Buddha Dharma. But then the next line turns it upside down and makes it a little hard to understand. He says, as myriad things are without an abiding self, there is no delusion, no realization, no Buddha, no sentient being, no birth, and no death. So the key here is without an abiding self. When we perceive the emptiness of a separate self, then we don't have a fixed idea of a solid self that we are, or that anything is. We drop our fixed idea. And we see that we shift our perspective from seeing the waves in the ocean to seeing the ocean. We're talking about the whole piece. And when we talk about the whole piece, the absolute reality of absolutely everything that you could ever, 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 ever imagine, and you drew a circle around it, what would be inside the circle? There'd be no delusion or realization. Delusion would flow into realization. Realization would flow into delusion. There'd be no Buddha or sentient being. Buddha would flow into sentient being. Sentient being would flow into Buddha. There would be no birth and death. There would just be a continual oneness, the non-dual. From this perspective, one can achieve great peace. Because we realize that we are part of the flow of the earth and the sky. That we share, right now, this common moment, this moment, with all beings. Just think. We're sharing this moment with all beings. And not just with all living beings. But we're actually sharing this moment with all beings that have ever been. And that will ever be. As myriad things are without an abiding self, there's no delusion, no realization, no Buddha, no sentient beings, no birth and death. You may have heard this referred to as nirvana. But of course, it's not terribly functional. And therefore, Dogen adds the next line. The Buddha way, in essence, is leaping clear of abundance and lack. Thus, there are birth and death, delusion and realization, sentient beings and Buddhas. It's just leaping clear. I love that. It's like a fish. You can just see the fish leaping out of the water, out of this ocean we're talking about. So on the first level, we have the waves. On the second level, we have the ocean. So the waves are the sense of abundance, where there's everything in the Buddha Dharma world. And the lack is when there's nothing, the non-dual. So he says, leaping clear of the ideas of abundance and lack. There's birth and death, delusion and enlightenment, sentient beings and Buddhas. So those three sentences, some people can see it as a progression, but I don't really think that's what Dogen's showing us here. The third level is not superior to the first level or the second level. They're just three different ways that we experience our lives, our Genjo Koan. The appearing of being, the emptiness of non-being, of oneness, and the transcendence or actualization of nirvana and samsara. We have to leap out like the fish and realize the moment-to-moment truth of the teaching that Dogen is giving us. An old master said, the reason why lotus flowers are not stained with mud is that they are free within the mud. You've often heard the metaphor of the lotus growing in the mud, the beautiful, pure lotus growing out of the stinking mud of the swamp where it receives all its nutrients. And then this remark is, the reason why lotus flowers are not stained with mud is that they are free within the mud. Can we be free within the form and within the emptiness? To not let either the perspective of form or the perspective of emptiness stain us, so that we can leap clear like a fish out of the water. Transcend both those perspectives. Gain wisdom from those perspectives, but not yet be stuck in either. I think that's the point. And then the capper of this whole section, what makes this all alive is, yet in attachment, blossoms fall, and in aversion, weeds spread. Now that sounds more like our life. He's just expressing vividly what he's been talking about. In our ordinary life, there's sadness, when a blossom falls, and irritation when we see weeds springing up along a path we've just cleared. Of course, on one level, we could say, well, you know, the distinction between weed or blossom is somewhat arbitrary. Weeds are homes for ladybugs and grasshoppers. And blossoms truly find their destiny when they're taken off by the wind. And yet, if we let go of that kind of symbolic way of thinking in which we would be aligning ourselves with the when all things are the Buddha Dharma, or when all things have no Buddha Dharma, no self, we can say, well, just, it's very ordinary. Blossoms fall, we're sad about it. When that which is showing up, when that which is Gen is appearing and we can see it as complete, Genjo, we're able to meet it just as it is. This morning I saw yellow roses all over the Zendo and my heart leapt up like the fish we're talking about. Yellow roses are so beautiful, and then there's a Buddha's hand here. It's just phenomenal. Natural sculpture. The yellow roses remind me of my aunt who, when proclaimed when she died, she wanted her coffin covered with yellow roses. And that was expensive. Yet an attachment blossoms fall. But I never forgot it, did I? All these years. So this whole first section brings out the urgent need for us to allow our minds to be open, to be available, to show up for what is arising in the moment. For what is arising here, so that we don't just follow the same old lines of thought, or we don't take hold of some creed that someone else has designed for us, some belief system, so that we can meditate and study, so that we can communicate. We can act and care with awareness. He's teaching us, Dogen is, to be alive to what is showing up in our lives, to see it as it is, and to see it also as part of us, and also leaping clear of what we think as it is and as part of us, and to simply be alive, to really be alive. Naizumi Roshi called this essay the koan of everyday life. As I said at the beginning, it was written for a layperson. It was written for someone who had many business affairs to take care of, family affairs to take care of. It was not written for someone isolated in a meditation retreat center. If we don't live the life we have, we miss this precious time. And how is it we don't live the life? We get caught up in our ideas. And this whole essay that we'll be studying this whole time is about facing your life without the old stories, the habits of mind that we pick up in our culture, in our experiences, but to be fresh. How we can simultaneously benefit the individual and the collective, the relative and the absolute, the unique and the common. How can we take care of our small individual self and our self as world? This piece teaches us how to serve. So download it from our site, study it, and we'll keep talking about it.